Our series on Sunday nights is Living in an Imperfect World. And obviously, as we've said often, we all know that we do live in a very imperfect world. I want you to turn, please, to Judges chapter 11. Tonight's subject matter is recovering from rejection. Some of these messages we want to be very practical because we know there are people that have very practical needs. Recovering from rejection. Rejection, trying to be accepted, both can be real problems to the Christian, even to the born-again person. Judges 11, beginning with verse 1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house. Thou art the son of a strange woman, or son of a harlot from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And we'll get into a little more of the story as we go along, but as you can see in these few verses, Jephthah was rejected by his half-brothers. The reason he was rejected was because he was the product of a harlot. They had the same daddy, but they did not have the same mother. And he was rejected. But it was not his fault, was it? It really wasn't his fault. It was his father's fault, and it was the harlot's fault, but it was not his fault. The half-brothers did not want him to share in the inheritance. They never said one word about their daddy being wrong. Never one accusative about him, but only about their half-brother. And I think their motivation was not so much morality as it was, I don't want you to get what I'm going to get. They wanted to cut him out of the inheritance. Later on, they went to him because they were in trouble. Later on, they had to go to Jephthah, and they wanted him to come help them. And Jephthah, as we'll see in a moment, made a very foolish and unwise vow, all because he wanted to be accepted and not rejected. And so let's talk tonight about several principles. Where rejection comes from, where does it come from, and how to respond, that is, properly, how to respond to any kind of rejection. There's, first of all, the presence of rejection. It is a fact. It is there. Most of us have experienced it in some way. Maybe it was a parent who favored one child or two children over you, and you felt rejection. It's a very real thing. Maybe it was a school teacher. I think all of mine rejected me. I'm not real sure. But I did appreciate those who really cared and took time to help us out. I remember an English teacher I had, and all in the world she wanted to talk about was Mardi Gras and the big shindig that took place every year. And the only people she really had much to do with was those that were elite in the class. And that was just, everybody just knew that that's the way she was. She lived to be a socialite. That was her heartbeat. But we've all faced it one way or the other, probably at some time, maybe going through it now. What are the causes of rejection? Sometimes it's our background. A lot of people are rejected because of their background. It may be their race. And it's sad that some people are rejected because of their race, because of the color of their skin. It should not be that way. And by the way, that works in either direction. That's something that the white people shouldn't do, and it's something the African Americans shouldn't do, and it's something the Hispanics should not do. It's something that should not be there. We should not be rejected because of our background. It may be race, it may be social status, I was raised in a little town of 6,000 people, and we were rather poor people. And often I felt the point of rejection because we were not wealthy people in the community. And I guess the common denominator that helped me be able to socialize with some of them was to play football in high school. And I can't think of any other earthly reason I would have done it other than that, perhaps. I wish I'd taken piano lessons. I could still be playing the piano. But there are some that are, because of their appearance, some would say they are, some are handsomer, some are more beautiful than others. That should not be the main factor. That does not make a young man any better than anybody else anywhere if he happens to be a handsome young man. It doesn't make a young lady any better than any other young lady if she happens to be a knockout, physically and beautifully a knockout. Doesn't matter. It shouldn't be that way. We should not be accepted or rejected because of that. If a person is not that handsome, if they are not a person, a young lady that is beautiful, who cares? Those things should not matter to us, though we have to contend with them. If we get the understanding of what the Bible says about who we are and whose we are, we can get over that. And it can make matters worse if you do that. The causes of rejection. Now, Jephthah was rejected because of his social status. It's not something that you would be necessarily proud of if everybody else knew that you were the son of a harlot, that your daddy had had an escapade, a sexual escapade, and you were the result of that immorality and that sin. And it is a sin, by the way, and it was a sin then, still a sin, that Jephthah and the harlot committed. But that wasn't his fault. Sometimes it's background, and we can do nothing about it. Sometimes it is our behavior. You know, sometimes we're rejected because of bad behavior. About the only thing we can do about that is correct it. Try to correct the behavior. If it's bad behavior, straighten it up, straighten it out. But some people are even rejected in a way that there is no room even for repentance. There's no opportunity for those people to get their hearts right with God. I talk to Christians sometimes, and I know how it is, but I think sometimes if somebody is in prison, there are a lot of Christians who would never trust them after they got out. Now, I know some of them are not trustworthy, and they prove that when they get out, but I know some who have been saved. They were bad people. They got gloriously saved. They straightened up their lives, but there are some who still wanted to reject them. We shouldn't reject anybody that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is truly born again. But then sometimes we're rejected for good behavior. You know, you can do some good things and people won't like it. I know that sometimes I've tried to witness to people, and there are people and families that would know that I was coming, and I'm trying to do a good thing to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't want me around. And I have a whole box full of people like that now that I go back and see every once in a while. And I say, "You remember me?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah, I do remember you, you know." But I'm still going to go back. And there's a reason for that, and I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But God said in Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." If you're doing it for Jesus and you're right in doing it, don't worry about what people think about you. It isn't worth it. Don't worry about it. And many times it's okay if they do that, and later on in your life it's going to bring a blessing. I said that some people would hate to see the preacher come, and you've been talking to them about the Lord, witnessing to them. I can give a number of illustrations, but one comes to my mind, or one came to my mind as I was preparing this message, and that was a family that I went to. And I can remember going, and the wife would say, "Well, my husband doesn't want to talk to you." And then a lot of times I knew he was there, and he'd have one of the kids come to the door and say, "You just tell him I'm not there." You know, it's always interesting when they come and say, "Daddy said tell you he's not here." You know, You know, you figure out right away what's going on. But you know what? It wasn't so bad, because I had some of those same people, those very same people, months and months later, have somebody call me when they had tragedies in their family, and I was able to go there, talk to them, and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and see many of their family members come to Christ. So don't think that all rejection for doing good is bad, because God can bring blessings out of that. Now, what are some of the conduits of rejection? In other words, how does it get piped to us? How do we receive that? Sometimes it's the families. We've already seen in Jephthah's case. Many times family members reject us for whatever the reason. It's not a pleasant thing to be rejected by a family member, is it? Some of you know very well tonight that the reason your family doesn't want you around when they're partying hardy is because you're a Christian. And they don't want you around too long for the Christmas party. They're so glad when you leave so they can pop out their liquor and start drinking. They don't really like you. They don't want you around. And they reject you. I wouldn't worry too much about that. If the family does, it isn't a pleasant thing, but there are many other ways that they can reject us for one reason or the other. It might be our socioeconomic situation, might be our lack of education or whatever. They reject us because of that. But God will take care of all that. We don't have to worry about that. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's even friends. Friends who reject us. You say, well, they're not really friends. Well, they were friends, maybe, until they rejected. It doesn't mean that you have to write them off, but many times you have friends that will reject you. Jesus knew something about that. He said in Zechariah 13:6, many years before it happened, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Jesus was wounded by some of the people that he had helped and some of those that were really his friends. So family can hurt us, friends can hurt us, and certainly foes can hurt us. Foes can reject us. It may sting when they reject us. And you know what? Here's what happens. Sometimes teenagers are down at the school and college students at the campus and adults, wherever they are in society doing whatever they do, because they don't want their enemies to reject them, they begin to compromise. They begin to want to be accepted. And the temptation to compromise is there. Now, what are the products of rejection? Some of the products of rejection. One of the things that will come with rejection is confusion. If you don't get that right and understand who you are in Christ, and you begin to want to be accepted by everybody, and it's all right to love people. We ought to love people. But if we get to where we want to be accepted by everybody and all of that going on in our lives, then sometimes it can cause confusion in our lives. We'll be suspicious of other people. We will not trust them. And we say, well, I really don't want to be hurt again. Jephthah was that way. He had been hurt, didn't want to be hurt again. And here were some people that were giving him a hard time, and now they come to him, and I believe that he wanted to be accepted, and because he wanted to be accepted, he began to compromise. If I win the battle, he said, will you let me be the leader? Will you let me rule over you? They said, we certainly will. We need you, man. We need you. Come on and help us, and we know you're a great fighter and you can win the battle. And so he began to get confused about the fact they had rejected him, and now he wanted to help them out because he wanted to be accepted by them. Another product of rejection is contention. A lot of times, people who have experienced rejection, and they didn't get over it, those people are people that are always fussing, always fighting, always hard to get along with. The reason many people are that way is because they've experienced rejection. They put a fence up and they say, I just can't trust you. You're going to hurt me. Or they have a chip on their shoulder and they'll fight at the drop of a hat. And if you don't drop the hat, they'll drop the hat for you. Because they have these feelings pent up in them because of their rejection, and they're going to take it out on somebody else, and many times it's a real sharp tongue that they use because they have failed to deal with the rejection that they have faced. Now, compliance is another product of it. Confusion, contention that comes with it, and compliance. Here's what people like that many times will do. They will do anything to get attention. And I can tell you, in my ministry over all of these 40 years in counseling people, I can tell you there have been a lot of young girls got in trouble for that one reason. They wanted to be accepted, and so they committed the sin of premarital fornication. God was not pleased with it. Maybe they had a stepfather, and the stepfather had rejected them, and they thought, I've got to be accepted. Or maybe they were not the most beautiful person, and they were wanting acceptance, and so they gave their body to somebody because of that. Compliance, anything to get attention. Loneliness is painful. Loneliness and maybe feeling rejected is very hurtful. And many of those things drive them to doing that. I've often wondered, and I've counseled again over years, I've seen a woman and a man, and they seem to have a great marriage. It seems like everything's going well. They have a nice home. He's a very nice looking man, making a good income. She's a very, very attractive woman, perhaps. And the next thing you know, she's running around on the husband, running around with a bum. And I've always wondered, why is that? Here's a man that is nice looking, making a living, and yet she chooses to run around with somebody that's an alcoholic or a drunkard or somebody that is really won't work. Many times they keep them up. They pay for all of the things that are needed financially and all of that. And why in the world is that so? But I've counseled enough of them to know that a lot of times the reason is their husbands were so busy doing their thing that they rejected their wives knowingly sometimes and maybe unknowingly sometimes, which is no excuse. And they felt rejected. And so they wanted to be accepted so much they would go to somebody totally opposite of them, and then sometimes go to somebody worse than that relationship, and it becomes a cycle that they go through until they come to grips with that between them and God. So it's confusion, contention, compliance, and then corruption. Bitterness, I've mentioned that a little bit, but that's exactly what happened in David and Absalom's case. David rejected Absalom because of what he did and because of the reaction he took about the rape of Tamar, his sister, and all of those things that took place. And as a result of that, David said, get out of here. I don't want you around. And he said, don't even get in arm's distance of me. And Absalom felt that total rejection. Let me tell you something, folks. The time is not the time that your children need you the most. It's when they're going through the problems that they're going through. That is not the time to reject them. That is not the time to say, you get out of my house and don't you ever come back through that door again. That isn't Christian, and that is not the time to reject them. We need to love them and care for them. And David treated Absalom like that, and it wasn't long till Absalom was bitter, and Absalom turned a lot of people against him, and then David had the unfortunate experience of seeing Absalom killed about the time he really wanted to work things out. And so all of that came from bitterness. Bitterness and rejection. Rejection always brings some kind of corruption with it. What we need to do is deal with rejection. If you do not deal with it in God's way, it'll lead to sin every time. Every time it'll lead to sin. Very quickly, the principles for dealing with rejection. Just some biblical principles. The principles are the fact that it is of relative importance to be accepted. Relative importance to be accepted. Why do we think it is so important to be accepted? Did you know there are some things more important in this world than being accepted? There are some things far more important than that. Abraham and Lot. I think of that story and how good Abraham was to his nephew. But Lot wanted to be accepted. He's like a lot of Christians who compromise in the world. He wanted to be accepted. He threw his tent up toward Sodom. He knew exactly what he was doing. That's the toehold the devil had. Then the next thing you know, he had a foothold. He was down there in the city, in the area of Sodom. And then he ran for political office because he wanted to fraternize with the Sodomites and be thought of as a high, uppity-up type person. He wanted to be accepted. And he sacrificed his virtue and he sacrificed his purity. As a matter of fact, not only did he sacrifice his, but that of his daughters. I don't have time to go on the story. Most of you remember it, but that's exactly what he did because he wanted to be accepted by the people down in Lot. He didn't want to hang around Abraham. Sometimes, I want to tell you tonight, it's good if some people don't like you. You're better off if they don't. You're better off if they reject you. Now, we have to realize why acceptance is withheld. A lot of times it's not you. It has nothing to do with you. Sometimes the rejection that comes is because of somebody else's problem. You just have to turn that over to God. I know some cases of, for instance, those that have been counseled who have said, I don't understand. My mother hates me. I don't know why. She's never complimented me. She's never had anything good to say about me. She's never in any way approached me with any kind of compliment. It is obvious that my mother does not like me. And when sometimes you get to checking into those things, one of the cases, at least that I'm familiar with, was a case where the mother, her mother and father, she got pregnant before they were married, and she resented the fact that she was pregnant with her before she was married and took it out on her the rest of this young girl's life. That's wrong. You can't do anything about that, but you can handle it with the help of Almighty God. Recompense later versus acceptance now. You can get repaid later on. If you'll hang on, not worry about it, and not try to be accepted by everybody, pay the price, do what's right, turn it over to God. Later on, God will honor that and bless that. Exactly as I said earlier about someone calling me later on, there'll be people. If they see you stand up and be a good Christian and not let these things get you down and understand that God is still the one that is there, then you can go on and do what has to be done and you can get over that and they will be blessed because of it. Here's another thing, reaching too far for acceptance. Reaching too far for acceptance. As I said earlier, that'll cloud your judgment. And we want to be accepted so much, like Jephthah. He said, if I can just win the battle, if I can just do that, will you please let me rule over you? Will I be accepted? That's what he was saying. Will you accept me? I have been away. I was run off. You did not accept me. Let me come back and please accept me. If I win the battle for you, will you do that? And that's exactly what he wanted to do. But there are many things that came as a result of that in his life that I don't think he wanted to happen. We ought to love people. I said it earlier. We should not try to make everybody not like us. But if they don't, that's just the way it is. And if we're not careful, we will do the wrong thing just to get accepted. Take these gangs that exist. Somebody wants in one of those gangs and they'll let them beat them almost to a pulp. Why would they do that? Why would anybody be that dumb? You know why? Because they want to be accepted. And they'll go way too far, reaching too far, just for acceptance. And let me just say this. Listen, and this will be the main thing you need to remember about this message. Only God's acceptance is necessary. Teenagers, you don't have to please your peers. You don't have to do what the crowd's doing. Young couples, you don't either. Singles, you don't either. None of us. all that is necessary. Only God accepting us is necessary. And if you have that, you have enough. And that ought to take us through anything we face. Then there's reciprocal acceptance, and that's not always wise. And that's exactly, again, what Jephthah did. He wanted to be complimented. He wanted to be accepted. And they began to compliment him. Oh, Jephthah, you're the greatest. You're the most wonderful. We've got to have you. We need you. They wouldn't speak to him a while before that, and they got in trouble. Oh, we've got to have you. We need you. And he began to listen to their lies. By the way, those brothers hadn't changed one bit when they were telling him that. They just wanted to use him. Just like people out there, if you compromise with them, they could care less. They just want to use you and drag you down to their level. Base your decisions on what is right and on what is wrong. That's the main thing to do it. Then rethinking your beliefs for acceptance. He made a terrible mistake in doing this. Look at chapter 11, verse 30. Jephthah, because he wanted to be accepted, made a vow that was stupid, was foolish. In verse 30 of chapter 11, Judges, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace, in other words, when I've won the battle, from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now look at verse 34. You see, he wanted to be accepted so badly that he even went so far as to pray and ask God to bless his foolishness and to let him win the battle, and made a vow to him. He said, when I get back, if I've won the battle, the first thing that approaches me, the first person, the first item that comes to me, then it's yours, and I'm going to give it as a sacrifice. Boy, that sounds great, doesn't it? Verse 34, and Jephthah came to Mizpah into his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. You see how God showed him and taught him a lesson about compromising and being accepted. He went that far away from God just to be accepted, just like a lot of parents do, materialism, and letting the standards down with their children, their dress standards, their associations, and their sometimes theological standards, and many of those things, just to be accepted. But I'm telling you, down the road, it'll come back to hinder you and hurt you if that's the main thing that motivates your life. If you were to ask Jephthah before that, Jephthah, would you give your only daughter up as a sacrifice? He would have said, Lord, no, man, what's wrong with you? You're crazy. But then why did he do what he did? Because he wanted to be accepted. The world doesn't have one thing out there that we need, folks. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that when he rethought all of this and he said yes, later on he realized, man, how stupid I have been, how foolish I have been to have to offer my daughter as my only daughter as a sacrifice because I wanted to be accepted. Rejection is real. But I can tell you this, if you'll apply God's principles, God will help you. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. Just be who you are. God made you like he made you. Be the best Christian you can be. If the whole blooming world doesn't like you, don't worry about it. All you need is Almighty God. We don't need to compromise. We don't need to give in. We don't need to get our thinking all messed up because of that. And I'm glad to report to you tonight, my dear friend, Jesus Christ will reject nobody. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in his sight. If you're not saved tonight, I've got good news. Christ will never reject you. He says that anybody that comes unto me, I will not cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No exceptions. If you're not saved, you're not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven tonight, I invite you in this invitation to come to Christ. I promise you, you'll never have a problem with him, with his rejecting you. It's not going to happen. He'll save your soul. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. Some of you who have been having a struggle with rejection, maybe at school, maybe at the college campus, maybe where you work, maybe among your relatives, maybe some others that are there, maybe at school, I don't know where, what. But friend, why don't you bring that feeling of rejection and that compromising attitude that could lead to deep sin and bring it to God and ask God to forgive you and just say, God, I thank you that I'm your child and I'm not worried about all the other rejection. I am, you know, God doesn't make any junk, amen? And I am your child and I love you and I'm going to live for you no matter what. If you need Christ, come to him tonight. Father, we thank you that even though we are sinners and we were very unlovely, even as the nation of Israel, when you picked her up after she had been molested, so to speak, out in the field, as you gave us the type in the Bible, oh God, even tonight, we are the same way. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve to be saved, to be your children. Thank you, dear God, that you have not rejected us, that we have been accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, God, that because you are holy and righteous, you will have to reject some that will not believe in your Son. But all who will come can be saved. I pray tonight they'd be saved. God, help us to stand for what is right and to understand that you, being accepted by you, is enough. In Jesus' name, amen.